You're in the Angel Room, a place for those who love angels, desire a close relationship with them, and want to know how to achieve it. Here's your host, Ivory Lanoux, renowned angel communicator.
Welcome, another glorious Sunday. Today I have my good friend Melissa Robinson on the show as my guest, and as you know from the marketing, if you saw the advertisement for this particular episode, Melissa did identify herself at when I first met her as an atheist or an agnostic, she was not into a higher power. And something happened the other day, Melissa, I'm going to tell the story because it cracks me up, that all these years we've been talking, and I do mention angels to her casually, you know, I'm not preaching angels, but I just mention angelic signs and things that are happening. And I asked her the other day, since it's pretty recent, really, like the last year and a half or so that she's really embraced this, I said, so all these years when I've mentioned angels, did you think I was crazy? And there was this pause, and she says, a little.
I wouldn't say crazy, I'd say kooky, but yeah, a little kooky.
Well, I always say until you experience something for yourself, it's very hard to embrace it. But Melissa, your story is so interesting. I mean, we've been good friends and I've been hearing this talking on the phone back and forth with all these things happening. But let's start back because we were talking yesterday and really the core of the amazing things that happened involving angelic signs and synchronicities and little minor miracles really center around a relationship that she was in. And so do you want to start with like where the amazing things started for you, Melissa?
Good Lord. Do you mean, Ivory, would you like me to start with the phone call in the night from God?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. We don't want to miss that.
Okay. All right. So, and I will preface this by saying I still am not religious. I still have views of things that probably don't align with most folks who have angel experiences, but so many things have happened over the years that I cannot attribute to anything else that I have made my peace with the concept of angels and angel language. I still struggle, though, with some of the broader concepts that most folks probably adhere to. So forgive me if my terminology is different or anything like that.
Well, let me say something. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this episode, Melissa, is so because we want to break that idea that people think you have to be religious, you have to be a certain, fit a certain mold to connect with angels or benefit from their guidance.
Yeah, definitely. So that first experience, I was in my 20s. I had had a corporate job of sorts and was debating whether I should stop that and make art. I didn't have the financial resources to stop and make art without fear. I didn't have a big safety net. So it was, if I was going to do this, it was going to be a leap of faith. And I was, you know, working that out in my mind. And one night I went to bed. I should go back for a second and just say I had made one significant drawing in the last several years at that point since art school. I'd made one significant drawing and I had turned it into postcards. And it was a drawing of a little boy wearing a construction paper hat that was shaped like a bird. And underneath it had a quote. And it said, when I was in first grade, my teacher made me a construction paper bird hat for my birthday and my wings flapped when I ran to the bus. I felt so special. And I had put these postcards at a few, I don't know, coffee shops around town because I really didn't know what to do with them. I didn't have a body of work to put in an art gallery or anything like that. I just had put some postcards around town. So this is about a year later that I'm going to bed trying to decide what to do. And I'm woken up in the dark in the night by a phone call. And this is back in the day when caller ID was a little box that was in my living room. So the phone by my bed didn't have caller ID. Because I'm old. And so I pick up the phone and say hello, and I am greeted with, my name is Angela, which my sleepy brain heard as angel or perceived angel, and she said, "And I have a message from God." Now, again, I'm an atheist at this point. But I'm not stupid. I'm not going to argue. When someone calls with a message from God, you get a pencil and a pad of paper. So I wrote down some notes, and I think that what she meant was that what she had in her hand was a message from God for her. But obviously I heard it differently. And she said, "I'm holding a postcard of your art, and it makes me feel less alone in the world." And she said, "I'm in the psych ward at the hospital, and it means a lot to me to feel less alone." So, I don't know how my postcard got there. And I didn't argue with that message. I quit my corporate job and started making art. And that was my first, like, ridiculously obvious, like, you can't make it be anything other than what it is, experience with a clear message like that.
I'm so glad you saw it as that, because a lot of people would be like weird and hang up the phone, or what an odd thing to happen, and just tell everybody about it and not really look at what's happening. And so many times angelic signs and messages come like that. They're not like a voice, an angelic voice coming down from above. It's other people talking to you, but you just know it. Did you just feel it inside like it was for you?
Well, I think I have opinions on this stuff, and I hope you don't mind me saying this. I hope it doesn't, you know, open up any can of worms or whatever. But I'm a big believer that people who were raised in environments that involve trauma, which I was, I had a traumatic childhood, invent pretty solid inner worlds to get through those times. And so I was used to trusting an inner voice. I was used to understanding that my world was different from sort of normal people world. And so even though I was not a part of any religion, you know, I don't argue when something to me feels solid, even if it wouldn't feel solid in more traditional measures. So Like I said, for me, someone calls up and says, "I have a message from God." I'm like, "All right, let me find my notepad."
I would do the same thing.
Exactly.
Lay it on me.
Yeah, and then I should add that the next morning I woke up and thought, well, that has to have been a dream. And so I walked into the living room and looked at the caller ID, and sure enough, it did show the hospital phone number.
Wow.
Right?
So that was like the beginning.
Right, yes.
And then what happened?
Do you want me to tell the dog story?
I think we're going to save that, because we're going to do a show that's about like dogs and signs. There's a lot about that.
All right. So if we skip the dog story, well, I think what we'll do is come more to the present moment then. So in the last year and a half, there's a countless ridiculous events where, like, much as I would have enjoyed saying that was not meaningful, like, I couldn't argue, just crazy meaningful. So I guess if we leap forward to this, you know, time in my life, I've done a lot of emotional and spiritual healing from the past, and I'm very connected to my own creativity, very aware of my own inner voice, very sort of plugged in, and I'm sure that played a part in how easily these kinds of things kept happening. But this latest chapter started with a dream. I woke up one night. I don't usually remember my dreams. I woke up from a dream. In the dream, I saw a man who looked a little like the Big Lebowski, and he was in a gold brocade suit. And he said he had known me for 44 years. And in my head, I thought, I'm going to give him a different name for this show just in case he wants his privacy. I'm going to call him Arvid. In my dream, I thought, that's Arvid from the internet. And what I meant by that is there was a man I had known 25 years previous on an internet chat room back when the internet was so new that, like, almost no one was on it. And he and I had known each other in person as well for a couple of years back then. I had this dream. I interpreted it as being him. I didn't have any pictures of him, so I didn't know, I wouldn't have known him on the street, but I made contact with him and said, "I had a dream of you. How are you doing?" And then we basically had spoken for almost every day for the last year and a half. He's visited many times and has since moved to my area. Right?
That's awesome.
Right? Yeah, it's been a crazy ride, you well know.
Yes, I do. It's always like, what's new in the saga now?
Right? I know. It's well, I mean with a beginning like that, I mean it's wild. It's been a wild situation.
It has. And I'm so glad that you're experiencing these things. I know so many times people, even some people in my family, are like, do you really see angels? And I'm like, I've been telling you that I see these since I was little. You just kept saying, what a wild imagination, or what a great fantasy life you have. And eventually you stopped talking about it. But yes, but nobody, it's a rare person. I shouldn't say nobody. It's a rare person who can hear about something they've never experienced anything similar to and really believe it's true. And yet, the more that you start embracing stories like this and experiences, the more you open yourself up to have your own.
Well, I think one of the things you've seen along this journey is that I had learned something about autism and Asperger's along this journey, both for myself and for a friend. And in researching that, I had learned, for some folks like this, the part of their brain that processes certain emotional and social stuff is sort of blind. And when I recognized that and tried to convey something about that to someone with that blindness, I thought of you. And I realized, if this person can be blind to this sense that many people do have, and you can't really explain it to them. How do you explain vision to someone who's been blind since birth? You can't really explain senses to people who don't have them. I thought of you and I thought, well, then who's to say that what she sees and experiences is any less real than the emotions I see and experience that my friend who has a different kind of blindness around that particular issue, I can't explain to him how I know what someone else is feeling just from a sense he can't access. The same thing. Who's to say that whatever you're experiencing with angels is any less real than, any of our other senses that maybe some of us are not able to access? So I don't see angels, but I absolutely see the results of some otherworldly activity that can't be attributed to anything else.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Melissa. It's important people understand not everybody's going to see angels. Not everybody is going to hear them right away. So the main thing is that you're getting their guidance, however
Yeah,
you're getting it.
absolutely. Well, I can't. For me, it's undeniable. I don't have any language for what's been happening in my life, but it's not coincidences. So,
Well,
I.
it's way beyond coincidence, and now it's gone beyond crazy synchronicity to minor
Yeah.
miracles in my book.
Truly, I mean, I believe that. Yes, especially. I mean, the last. There've been two incidences where I've just walked to objects that there's no way I could have found or know where they were or whatever, and they spoke to the moment so clearly that it had to have been divinely directed in some capacity.
That was pretty recent that you were, I don't remember what the circumstance was, but that you went upstairs and opened a box, and the first box you opened had three items in it that were really important and meaningful.
Yeah, that's the most recent incident. And there was one similar about, I don't know, maybe 6, 8 months ago, where I walked right to a box. And in both cases, those were boxes that hadn't been opened in 15, 20 years. And I walked directly to objects that spoke instantly to what I had just been experiencing in such a specific way that there's no other way to explain. I have no way to explain what that was.
And I think that sense of there's no explanation for this is also something people could look for because it's normal for humans to want to rationalize things. And that's why a lot of times
Sure.
people miss out on signs and guidance because their brain is rationalizing it. But there's only so far you can do that. Your angels will just keep giving
Yes.
you more and more till your brain says, oh, I feel the angels coming in as I say this. So that's they're really saying this is important. They'll just keep coming in more and more powerfully till there's no more denying it.
Well, for me, I mean, in that particular instance, I mean, so if we go back to that dream I had about Arvid, at that time, part of me was like, well, maybe it's my subconscious. Maybe my subconscious remembers him as a safe person to connect with. I need some safe connection now. And so my subconscious brought it up in my dreams. That's certainly a more acceptable explanation for my rational mind because I'm not so attuned to, you'll forgive me, but I tend to think of it as hippy dippy stuff. And so yeah, you know, you could think in terms of subconscious, but like walking directly from a conversation that covered three things and then going upstairs to a box I hadn't opened in 15 years and pulling out three things that I hadn't seen in 15 years that speak directly to these deeply personal and emotional things. That's not the my subconscious didn't hide them 15 years ago. And in fact, they were packed by movers. There's no way I knew where they were. And in two cases, I didn't even know they existed, these objects. And I was just, I can't explain it other than I was directed right to these things. And I don't know what that could be other than a divine guidance.
And think about the fact that movers packed them 15 years ago,
right.
And they packed those three items in a box together, put them right on top of everything in the box so that 15 years later, you can open it at that moment when you were talking or dealing with a situation that pertains to those items.
Yeah. And it's three different items. It's a painting I did of a wolf. That related to a wolf topic I'd been discussing for my career. It was a painting of some words that had a very specific message directly to me. And then it was a hospital bracelet from a time that I was hospitalized that spoke directly to some concerns of mine. And so it's not like it's just like random things that could have been interpreted whatever way. There were three issues I was discussing. I got up and walked directly. I was going to the box to find something for the person I was talking to. That thing wasn't in the box, but these three things were, and I got goosebumps, and again, I don't argue at this point.
And so what happened after you got the
call that's
from
right.
God and you saw Arvid?
I'm going to answer. First of all, I'm going to answer what happened after I found these three things, because I totally forgot about that. I find these three things. I go back to the computer to talk to the original person and say, hey, I didn't find the stuff I was going to look for you. But here's what I found. These three things that speak directly to our conversations. And when I sit down at the computer, there is an angelic face on my computer. Someone I did not know on Twitter had started a conversation and said, you are radiant, which is a word that I kind of associate with angels. And he looked angelic. So he's on there with that message. And then right above him, it said, you are now being followed by spiritual wisdom. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to argue with this. So that's what happened when I found the three things. I apologize, Ivory, but what was your question about Arvid?
No, I just wondered, like, what happened, like, in order here of, so we knew you got the call from God. We're skipping the dog story for now because we're going to talk about that in another episode. And then you got the dream about Arvid.
Yeah, and then a whole lot of things. A whole lot of things happened around Arvid. Probably the most dramatic also relates to an object and getting up from my desk. Arvid and I had plenty of difficulties. And during one of those periods of difficulty where we were not in communication, I was writing about the struggle I was having with him. And I decided I needed to clear my head and do something physical. So I was going to go upstairs and do some cleaning. Now, I have these boxes because I moved from a larger house to a smaller house some time ago. And some of these weren't gone through since the move before that. So unfortunately, I am not on top of my house cleaning, so I just have a big storage closet full of boxes that I haven't touched. So I decided I needed some physical activity instead of dwelling on our difficulties. I got up, I walked upstairs to a different stack of boxes in a different place that I hadn't touched in, I don't know, since I moved here, I guess. And I don't know why I went there. But the very first box I opened had a yellow legal pad on it. And it was from about the time of the call from God that we talked about. I look at the legal pad. It has notes from my corporate career before I dropped out to be an artist. And then it has notes about Arvid. I knew him 25 years ago before I had that dream and reached out. And there are notes that I don't even remember writing. Now I do, now that I've seen them. But I wrote them while I was sitting in my corporate office about my relationship with him. And the language was identical to language I was writing that day. So I literally got up from my desk, walked to and that was packed by movers too. So walked to a box I had not looked at ever in a part of the house I hadn't looked at boxes packed by someone else and took out a legal pad within 60 seconds of writing about this person that I wouldn't have known on the street without the dream. I had found a legal pad with notes about him specifically from 25 years ago. I got goosebumps. I think I called you immediately because what else can that possibly be? I mean, that was mind-blowing for me.
It is, and it's sort of like I have to use like either peeling an onion or a flower blossoming, sure, one petal at a time. These things that just keep blowing your mind. And I can, for a while there, it seemed like almost daily there was something happening.
Yeah, there's been a number of events, and I'm not comfortable with this stuff. I mean, it genuinely causes me anxiety because I really am a rational, logical person. My brain is wired for science and math and that kind of stuff. I'm artistic too, but in a relatively controlled fashion. I'm not a miracle seeker, let's put it that way, and yet I don't know what else to call these but minor miracles. I mean, it's been quite a trip the last year and a half.
I don't know how to describe them either, other than that. I mean, to me, major miracles are, you know, feeding a million people with one loaf of bread and a bottle of wine. But there's minor miracles that happen through life that people would be wise to recognize. And it is the angels just trying to get our attention. And I find that if we're busy, if we're distracted, if we're ill and we're not catching the signs, they just do bigger and bigger and bigger things until finally you're like, whoa, get it.
Yeah, I feel like that. And there's a nationally recognized suicide prevention speaker named Kevin Hines, and he will be speaking in my town soon. And I just watched his story online the other day, and he jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and shattered his legs, and he was drowning, and he asked for help. And this seems insane to say, but a sea lion came up beneath him and buoyed him and held. He laid on a sea lion. Lied. I hate that. I don't know that grammar. But anyway, he was resting on a sea lion, and people watched this happen, and the sea lion kept him there until the Coast Guard could get to him. And I mean, I heard that story and I just immediately started laughing because, I mean, there's no, how is that anything but angelic or otherworldly, you know, intervention? I mean, he begged for help and help came. And I don't think it's always that direct, but sometimes it's that direct. And to me, it made me laugh. I mean, that's,
you know, what that underscores is something that I like to try to get across to people is when you're asking for help from your angels, just ask for the help, tell them what you need, but don't try to detail how it's going to happen. If he had said, help, I need a boat, maybe it couldn't have got there fast enough. You know, let the angels send help in the fastest, most creative way they can think of, which is vastly more ways than we're ever going to come up with. I wouldn't have thought of a seal.
Right. No, and I mean, all the things that have happened in my life, I wouldn't have thought of any of these things. I mean, it's, I have learned, I think because of you, to be more comfortable with angel language. And as you well know, I'm a writer and I write daily. And I have incorporated gratitude and thoughts for angel assistance when needed. And almost daily I express gratitude for every sort of angel and blessing that has touched my life, because I do feel, you know, really grateful and fortunate.
And I understand that. You know, I'm so happy for you, because the truth about this, like, I know that we were talking yesterday maybe, and you said, like, it's all centered around Arvid, but it seems to be centered around Arvid. But I think the truth is that it was all about lifting you up. It was all about helping you transform.
Yeah, it's hard to say on these issues, because I feel on some, I don't, like I say, I'm a baby in this. And so, you know, you'll have to be patient and forgive me if I use language that's not going to be understandable to you and to your typical listener. But for me, I feel as if Arvid is very much a real human, but I also feel he is an angelic presence in my life, despite the fact that it hasn't always been an easy relationship. But I feel he's in my life for a reason. I feel there's an angelic element to that. And I feel like the struggles and the joys of that connection that I wouldn't have found without that dream and without all these signs along the way or whatever you want to call them, I feel like that's made me, that's opened my heart in a way that I will be able to do loving work in this world that would not have been possible without the angelic guidance that I can't separate from Arvid's presence in my life.
I totally agree with everything you just said, just from hearing everything that's happened to you in the details and the huge, rapid occurrence of these things. But it's also been, and maybe you don't see this in yourself like I see it in you, but you blossoming as a person, just
Oh,
really
definitely.
starting to live bigger and broader and think of yourself in bigger terms and take better care of yourself and just a whole lot of things. Even like you were talking about organizing your home. That speaks of transformation because when
True.
you feel better inside, you want your surroundings to reflect that.
Yeah, I think that transformation had started. I know that I, for instance, started taking better care of my health and lost some weight and stuff before the dream and Arvid entering my life, but I think it's all related. I
Oh, yeah.
think, yeah, I think it for me, Ivory, it just all comes back to love. For me, I spent a significant period of time, a few years, more or less in solitude, healing from past trauma, so that my heart was ready to open. But then it was the And so I'd already started taking better care of myself and that sort of thing, but then it was the event, and there was another event maybe I should bring up too. But anyway, it was these early events that cracked my heart wide open. I had done the work to prepare for that opening, but I don't think it could have happened for me by myself. So another friend described it and said this experience made me more human, and I think that's certainly accurate.
Which is a beautiful thing because you were kind of
Yeah.
trapped to a
Yeah.
degree by your
Yeah.
past.
And I was trapped to some extent in my intellect. I mean, I do think that there is, as we mature, if we're lucky enough to have some perspective and some faith in our own perspective as we mature, I think any intelligent person opens to the idea that, of course, we don't know everything that's at play in the universe. This is not all known. So, it cracked me open and broke me free of a more rigidly intellectual perception of everything.
Which is a good thing, because that's kind of a problem I have found with, I should say, a barrier people have
Yes.
who are very scientific minded, very rational. And I, my background's the field of mental health. I worked in that field a long time, so I have that part of me for sure. But I know that a lot of the people who worked with me, psychiatrists specifically, I
Sure.
only met one in all my years who was willing to not only entertain the idea of an afterlife and angels, anything like that, but to believe it and pursue evidence of it. Like they were really into it. The rest of them thought that was psychosis. So
See.
there's that problem with too much thinking.
See, for me, I don't have a conflict there in the sense that I'm well aware that, we have, I don't know, I'm going to probably get these in the wrong order because I'm not a scientist, but we have, electrons and neutrons and atoms and then cells and then multi-celled organisms and then organs and then the organs make up, mammals, for instance, and then there's species of those and then you go to ecosystems and then you go to the world and then you go to the universe, and I'm aware that there is this infinite web of life that gets tinier and tinier than we can perceive, and I imagine grander and grander than we can perceive. And so I feel like it's arrogance or ignorance to suggest that we know everything there is to know. So I don't understand how this stuff is happening, and I don't have the conviction that religious people have where they think they know the narrative of that, and maybe they do. I don't have that conviction, but I'm smart enough to know that I'm dumb about certain things, and that's okay. So I don't question it. It doesn't conflict with my view of a scientific reality.
And I think that's perfectly fine. I think having a mind open enough to embrace what's happening to you and not continue to rationalize it and say, oh, that's just a weird coincidence, and file it away in a box of oddities says a lot about you.
Well, you have been a friend for some time, so you know my life story. I mean, I think you either cling rigidly to an ideology and you make the world fit in that box, or in my case, if you're like me, I wasn't allowed to have any boxes. I tried to be normal and fit everything into nice, tidy boxes, and they always life ripped them away. And so I got more comfortable with the idea that, it's not up to me. I'm not defining this stuff. I'm along for the ride. And I'm a lot happier when I just try to accept and embrace the current moment than when I try to force it to fit into what I think it should be.
And that's good because sometimes just letting life happen, just experiencing it is the ultimate. It's what we need to do to grasp what's really happening around us.
Yeah, I think so. I think the more that I have been able to do that, the happier I have been. For sure, for sure. And this is definitely the happiest time of my life, and part of that is that maturity, that ability to just let go, not try to be in control, and accept, what I'm given.
You know what they say about control? It's an illusion, much like perfection.
Yeah, perfection. Yeah, both
I
those things
still
are
find myself
dangerous.
trapped in the trying to make something perfect and stop it, stop it. It's
Yeah,
a waste of time and energy.
I am fortunate enough to have surrendered that illusion a long time ago.
I want to say something too. I like that you look at things differently. I like that you are not fitting yourself into a box. But then again, I am the founder and first member of the Don't Be Normal Club. That's a real thing. I founded in high school. And I still go by that because where's the fun in being normal? Just be yourself, be unique. And that's one of the things I like best about you is your uniqueness.
Yeah, well, it's irrepressible. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. It is what I am what I am, and there's no, I am one of a kind. For better or for worse, I am one of a kind.
Well, you've really poured yourself as far as this relationship with Arvid. I know that you poured yourself into it. You opened your heart a whole wholly, unreservedly, and poured yourself into it. But even if things are not where you thought they would be, you're still seeing him as a divine presence, perhaps even
Oh,
related
absolutely.
to angels in your life.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, I was not at any point in this experience. It was never about a necessary result. I certainly had desired ideas, dreams, visions of a certain kind of connection, but all along it was about learning and growth. From my perspective, it was about learning and growth for both of us. And I have learned a ton and grown a ton. I mean, just it's stunning, really. And yeah, I'm eternally grateful for every experience along this journey. But it hasn't always been easy. And it is important, I think, to make clear that as bonded and connected as I feel to this person, and as unreal as this process has been for me, I did not enter into it looking for love. I did not enter into it looking for anything. I had a dream. I was not trying to fill a hole in my life. I have no illusions about that. When there's a need in my life, I recognize that's something pushing me to learn and grow in my way. It's not something I try to fill with some other person. So all along this, there has just been a sense that the universe or the world or God or the angels or whatever name we put to it, had plans for me to learn and grow a certain way, and all I've tried to do along that path is to surrender.
And I think that's fantastic. My friend Roz, that I own my business with, she's always saying, when you stop worrying about finding your love is when they're going to come into your life. And I think it's because it changes your energy when you relax. And also it needs to be the right time. You had a lot of work to do on yourself, just like I had a lot of work to do on myself. sometimes a relationship's got to go on the back burner for our own good.
Absolutely. Oh, I, you know, for anybody who's listening, thinking about love, I mean, I was a serial monogamist. I had been in relationship after relationship, and I made the conscious choice to not be in relationships for quite some time because I didn't feel I could give freely of my spirit until I healed from what I had been through in life. And I thought when I moved here, you know, in our silly human way, I thought, well, I'll move there and I'll be healed in a year. That's not quite how it works.
Because moving to a new town magically transforms you into right. a new person.
Right, exactly. I was talking to someone the other day who adheres to a 12-step group. I don't know the specifics of it, but he said there's actually a word, and I forget what... I think it was like geolocating or I don't know. But he said there's a word in addiction treatment for that sort of magical idea that I'll just move here and then I won't have any of these behavior patterns that I had before. And he's like, you know, we laugh about that because he said everybody who's tried to quit a behavior that way winds up, you know, living two or three different places before they're like, okay, so I guess the place doesn't matter. And so I moved to a new place and I devoted myself rigorously to emotional and spiritual and psychological work to heal. And I'm grateful and happy to reply to you and say, you know, healing is possible. Healing is real. I was not aware of angelic involvement in that process, but I think that process is why I, you know, didn't even hesitate. I woke up from that dream and I sat on the edge of my bed and contacted that person. And I think at a different time in my life, I would have just, you know, shrugged off a silly dream and forgotten it. But because of the work I had done and how open I was to the idea that I don't have all the answers and I don't know how, you know, the world works fully, when that message came through in my head, I just immediately reached out. And in fact, he said the email address that I reached out to was one that he only checked like once a month. But he happened to check it within like an hour of me reaching out and responded right away. So
there's another one. And that's a really good point, Melissa, because I tell clients and students all the time, you know, especially when it comes to angelic guidance, if you want to connect with your angels, you need to start by clearing your energy, which is raising your frequency, which is done through what you eat and don't eat, what you read, watch, listen to, and don't. What you drink and don't drink, you know, getting rid of things that are toxins for the body. And as the years go by, it is a long process because it goes in stages. Maybe first you're going to give up drinking. And then maybe, you know, 6 months to 9 months later, you go, you know what, I'm giving up sugar. And then it's salt. And then it's processed foods. And then it's, you know, going to all organic. I mean, there's a lot of different ways this can go. Oh, wait, the angels are coming in again.
Well,
but
this is some
help.
This is a mixed bag, this experience of talking to you in this moment, because I'm sitting here next to a Diet Coke, and that is pure chemicals that I've tried to give up. And I will tell you, though, what you're saying is spot on, because at the time that this stuff began, it was the first time in my life where I was only eating real food, not, you know, science experiments that men created. I was out in nature for a couple of hours a day, walking 6 to 8 miles a day. I still don't watch television, but I was very careful about what information went into my mind and what music I listened to. And, you know, I'm always at this stage of my life very careful about what people I interact with and making sure that I keep positive warmth in my life. But so when you say that, I mean, I was at that time very clear of any potential, you know, interference in that way. Unfortunately, some of the stress of recent months mean, you know, I've, as you well know, had more pizza and Diet Coke than I would like and less of the purity, but I'm getting back on track. So it was helpful to hear that message.
Basically, you're saying you're human because
I'm human.
Even the best people, there's very, very few people who stay that straight and narrow path all the time. And I pay close attention to it. And you brought up something, though, about TV. One of the best things people can do quickly is to not watch TV at all, which is a hard one because it's addictive. Yeah. But if you fall off the bandwagon, so what? So you're drinking a Diet Coke. So what? So then you start eating good again. You'll still get that angelic guidance, but you won't get it as much or as clearly as when your energy is clear, because the angels vibrate at a much higher frequency than we do. So we want to try to raise ours up so that we can catch more of that. That's all. It's science. It really is about science.
Well, again, I'm a baby in this field. So energy and vibrations is language that is foreign to my ears. But again, I freely admit I have blind spots and stuff, but I certainly will say though that, I mean, for me, when I'm eating clean and eating less too, I'm a big believer in less, but when I'm eating clean and eating less, I do feel like just my mind is clearer. My emotions are clearer. I have an easier time perceiving my emotions, which is not always easy for me. Perceiving them and experiencing them without a delay. When I'm eating garbage and lethargic and all that kind of stuff, there's a much bigger delay in processing sensory information, which I guess maybe my layperson's way of saying what you said about energy or whatever is just I just function better when I take better care of myself.
I'm glad you're saying it in your own words, because you know that's why there's many teachers of the same subject and many books on the same subject, because there's going to be people out there who hear it from one person's voice where they never heard it from another. Just the way that they worded it really strikes a chord for them. Yeah. So I appreciate you rewording that in the way that it makes sense for you.
Yeah, I think language is hugely important, and it's hard to talk about these kinds of issues when we don't have a cultural tradition and agreed upon narrative. And so for me, I had a big thing happen to me maybe 15 years ago. I got a book called, I'm going to say it's called Amazing Grace by Kathleen Norris, but it's a book of religious language that where she just takes on different words and writes about them from someone who was a religious skeptic at the time she was taking them on. And it opened my mind to the idea that, you know, nobody owns these words, that I can use these words, even though what God or love or prayer or whatever might mean to me might be very, I still to this day don't believe in a deity, but I'm comfortable using the word God, for instance, for the love that connects all living things. And I think, you know, opening up language and deciding that we can hear language however we choose to, and we can use it however we want to, and that no cultural entity owns any of this language, I think that played a part in my mind being open to how these things evolve too, is the idea that I don't have to adhere to somebody else's religion in order to use the word angels, for instance.
No, you don't. And I know that you're still coming to grips with a higher power. And I'm a believer in people using whatever term feels right for them, whether it's God, source, higher power. It's all the same thing. Yeah. I don't think any of us really know exactly what that is, other than I have felt it's the presence so many times. Sure. I have felt that energy touch me, that I know it's there. But for you, I just want to put this out there, because I was thinking about you last night. Once you believe in angels, it's only a little step over to embracing the higher power.
Well, as I say, I'm comfortable with, I tend to use spirit rather than God, but I'm comfortable with any of that language. It's just that for me, that represents, again, the love that connects all living things, not a separate mental construct, not a separate deity that watches me like a father figure or something. So my experience of that might be different than yours, or might be different than a religious experience of that. But I do very much believe in sacredness, holiness. I just don't believe in religion. I guess that's where it comes down to for me.
I know you're there. I know you are. And it's interesting, because the way you describe that is how when people like to use the word universe is interchangeable with God or a higher power. It's a similar idea that there's that presence out there. There's something out there that's good, that's benevolent, you know. Yeah. And to me, God is not vengeful. God is not Right. God does not want to do harm to his creations. And by the way, angels are God's messengers, God's work crew. I always say God's the CEO, and the angels are like our direct supervisors, that are our personal angels. And then there's the archangels, who are upper management. And, you know, if you want to look at it in that way, but they're all interrelated. They're all working for the same cause, which is the good, you know, trying to help us be something better. I mean, that's kind of my goal every day, is when I go to sleep, one of the last things I say is, help me be better tomorrow than I was today. I just want to keep growing. I want to keep seeing a broader view of the world. I want to keep seeing more opinions and views and taking into consideration, and not get boxed into what I've always thought.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And so, is there any other stories? Because I know you have so many that I've heard about. I feel like we've missed some that are important.
There's been a lot. It's
what
a wild
tattoo. Wasn't there something with a tattoo?
Oh, the destiny thing. All right, sure. I hope Arvid doesn't mind that I say this. So Arvid had come to visit. We have had to bridge vast chasms of difference in terms of our emotional experience of life, and sometimes that process has been clumsy and painful. So he came for an early visit, a visit early in this evolution. It did not go well. I asked him to return to his location hundreds of miles away. He did not, but I didn't know that. So he went to a store in my town and made some purchases and accidentally left an item behind. And then a few days later, he had returned to his home. I happened to stop in the same store, and I'm buying a little medallion that says destiny. Because I'm feeling at this time, like so many pieces of my life are starting to fall together and make sense in a way that feels, holy, feels sacred, feels beautiful, feels, meant to be. And so I'm buying this little medallion that says destiny. At this time, Arvid and I are not in communication. And the store owner says, hey, your friend was in here the other day and bought some things and forgot something, and we are packing a box to send to him right this instant. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And she said, nope, right this instant, as I'm buying a destiny coin. So once again, I don't argue when stuff like that happens. I said, well, who am I to argue? Put this in his box. But I said, he is rigorously ethical, so you'll have to tell him it's a free gift. Otherwise, he will return it to you thinking it is a mistake. So she put the medallion in the box. And the medallion is a little, scrapbook embellishment kind of thing. Little copper coin that's made to look like maybe a hotel room identifier from, you know, another era, and it had numbers underneath it. So it said destiny, and then it said 5890 underneath it. It's just a pre-made little thing. It's not, the numbers don't mean anything. But so I said, throw that in the box, tell them it's a free gift. I drove away. As I'm driving away, I call back to the store and I say, what are the numbers under the word destiny? Because that might make a cool tattoo one day as a sort of private symbol for destiny, you know? And so she gave me the numbers 5890. So fast forward a few days, my friend has received his box and he's opening it on the phone with me, and he says, there's a gift in here. And I say, does the gift have 5890 on it? And he says, what are you talking about? How would you know that? And so I tell him this story. He puts the medallion on his keychain, and maybe 6 months later, he's visiting me for my birthday, and we got matching tattoos of the destiny coin, which I'm not a matching tattoo kind of girl, but I mean, who argues with stuff like that, right?
What is really interesting to me about a lot of these signs and messages you got is how you would kind of withdraw from Arvid and the angels would push you back to him.
Yes. Well, I think it's cute that you bring that up and say it's interesting. What it makes me feel like is like I'm a moron for not, for trying to inflict my will and desire on destiny or whatever. Like, anytime I try to say, I can't do this, Destiny and the angels go, oh yeah, you can. So I don't argue.
I'm familiar with that. I'm very familiar with how that goes. That happens in my work a lot. Like, I think I told you recently, I'm going to stop doing mediumship. And then the angels sent me all of these people, started going, well, blah, 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 told me about you, or you did readings for this person, for my mother, for my sister. Oh my goodness. I'm like, I get it. I get it. All right.
Yeah, that's happened with me with my work as well, where I've thought to myself, boy, there's nothing left for me to learn in this particular arena. I'm going to, you know, retire from this piece. And then, constant messages of, oh, yeah, no, there's still stuff you need to learn there. My whole life is a lesson in surrender. You know, you do. I think that's the human condition.
I always say, if you can get to a point when you're healing that you can detach emotionally, take a step back and look at what you learned from the circumstance, what you gained from it, what wisdom you have, what boundaries you've gained, like, that's what it was all about. And once you figure that out, it's severed, you're done with it.
That's interesting.
And until you do that, it can be like a ball and chain you're dragging around.
That's interesting.
And I think you've definitely done a lot of that.
Yeah, it's been, I feel grateful and fortunate. And I guess to some extent, this otherworldly guidance plays a part in what I'm going to say next. But I feel grateful and fortunate that I've been able to maintain my sense of humor and my sense of wonderment throughout some growth experiences that were less than, you know, pleasant. I've been able to keep my sense of humor and my sense of wonderment and find the joy and the lesson in things. So I'm grateful for that.
It's pretty amazing, but you're a very strong person. And that speaks volumes to how you're going to come out of the other side of dark nights of the soul, which you had very long one. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just no other way to describe that. And for those who don't know what it is, it's a long period of time where things just happen one after another that beat you down on every level till you literally feel like you have no hope. You're in this dark place. You don't know how to get out of it. That's when you need your angels the most. You know, I've been telling people I've been through two of them, but I actually been through three. And I realized that yesterday. It's like, how could I not count my daughter's father's death? We weren't married anymore, but he committed suicide. And even though I was remarried happily, he was remarried. I grieved hard for about 4.5 years. Plus, it was really scary to have my daughter's father die like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's got these things that happen in our lives, but we can either, that can be our story, or it can be the impetus to what your story really is. What is this really about?
Well, and I think, so a couple quick things. I think that's a conscious choice that we all get to make. And I certainly hit a place in my life where I made a conscious choice and said, I have worked too freaking hard, to come this far and have my story end in tragedy. There's just, I will not give up. My story has to have an upward arc, has to end in triumph, has to end in inspiration for others. Because I worked so hard to learn these lessons that there's no way I'm, you know, leaving this planet without passing them along in an inspiring way. So that's part of it. And then I just want to say on the topic of suicide briefly, because that's a personal passion of mine, that affects so many more people than the one person who is in such pain. And a lot of times people who make that decision think they want to spare their loved ones from their anguish. But I am a big believer that pain is the flip side of joy, and that pain is just as sacred and holy as joy and love. And that please do, if you're in pain, do burden your loved ones with that pain. They would much prefer that to your absence. And that when one of us expresses pain, it gives others permission to express their pain, and that there is something sacred and holy about that. And I want to say that, because I think suicide kind of tears at the fabric of all life. And it's I want to give that message. And again, I'd say, look up that Kevin Hines story of the sea lion, you know, keeping him afloat. There is purpose to life, and there is help when you ask for it.
And that's a great way to wrap up the show. We are out of time. Melissa, thank you for joining me on the show today. I enjoyed it so much. I know there's going to be a lot of people who can relate to your story. Please tune in 2 weeks when my guest is Sarah Hansegard. She is an unusual spiritual warrior in that she uses angels in her process to paint. What she has recently realized are spiritual shields, and her paintings have an ethereal look to them. And I know since we don't have video on the show, I will post some samples of her work on my Facebook page so that you can see them before or after the show. And in the meantime, have a beautiful week.
You've been listening to The Angel Room with Ivory Lanoux. Tune in next Sunday at noon Arizona time for another enlightening episode.